Then they came to Jericho. And as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a large crowd, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. When he heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Many were sternly telling him to be quiet, but he kept crying out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him here." So they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take courage, stand up. He is calling for you." Throwing aside his cloak, he jumped up and came to Jesus. And answering him, Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabboni, I want to regain my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go. Your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and began following him on the road. This is the word of the Lord. Weakness is a sign of our own insufficiency. And we like to cover up weakness by pretending that we are strong. A little boy tries to carry 2 grocery bags filled with 13 pounds of chocolate milk, coffee creamer, shredded cheese, and donuts. His father asks him if he would like some help, but the boy replies, "No, I can get this, Dad." The father holds the bags in suspension by the handles as his son grasps for control, and he says, "Are you sure? These are pretty heavy." "No, I can get it. They're not heavy," replies the child. And then the chore begins. The father, who was planning to hold the groceries with his own right arm and carry them to the car while taking the hand of his 4-year-old son to his left, now walks to the car, watching with pitiable laughter in his heart at his son trying his best to carry the sacks of groceries. At a certain point in the parking lot, the boy slows down, beginning to drop the bags, which causes his father to stop and reach out to help. The boy looks up with wide eyes and he says, "Daddy, these are too heavy." His stress has turned into instant relief the moment the weight is removed. His father is not burdened by the load, but is happier now than ever, and even more happy than the son who freely marches onto the car holding his father's hand. The boy's determination never lacked, but his physical strength failed him. In his deficiency, the father's sufficiency was realized. The father's power, however, was not revealed until the boy's weakness was admitted. Weaknesses are often difficult to disclose. We don't like to talk about weaknesses. You can't brag about those things. I mean, think about how difficult it is to give an answer for those questions about a student's weakness on a college application or a scholarship recommendation form. He wants a good review. You want to give him a good review. For goodness sakes, his parents really want him to have a good review so he can get in and out of the house and they don't have to pay a whole bunch for his education. But there's the question. You can't get rid of it. What are these students' weaknesses? You can't move on because there's that little box on your computer screen marked with a red asterisk signaling that there's no way you can go any further in the submission process until you describe the student's weaknesses. You don't want to answer because you know that weaknesses show what a person cannot do. We all know we can't do everything, but when we are told exactly what it is that we cannot do, it hurts deeply. The more weakness is prodded, the more pronounced our defensive kicking reactions become. But what if you knew your glaring weakness and also readily admitted it to yourself and to everyone around you? You knew exactly what it was that you could not do, and everyone else around you did too. In fact, people discussed this weakness openly in front of you while debating about your effectiveness as an individual in society and even your worth as a human being in light of your blatantly obvious weakness. That might sting even more. In fact, I would dare say that you would stop caring about what people think about you altogether. After all, why should you care what someone else thinks about you when you know that they don't care about you in the first place? There was a man who had a weakness. His name was Bart, and he was blind. Because he was blind, he was also poor. And because he was poor, he was a beggar. His story is recorded in the Bible in the 10th chapter of Mark, verses 46 through 52. This gospel, this book of Mark, is all about the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Before the gospel, which is that Jesus died for our sins and rose again according to the Scriptures, was buried, and on the third day rose again according to the Scriptures, Mark records for us how Jesus lived on this earth as a man. He lived among other people, people with weaknesses. These people, many followed him out of curiosity. Those were the crowds. A few followed him out of a sense of calling and conviction. These were called his disciples. And still others encountered him in the circumstances of their lives. Such was Bartimaeus. Jesus was traveling toward Jerusalem, the city just outside of which he would be crucified. And on the way to Jerusalem, he came to Jericho with the crowd of curious followers and his 12 disciples. When he left Jericho, he started walking again towards Jerusalem. The road he was traveling was coincidentally and providentially the same road where blind Bart sat begging for alms by the passersby. He couldn't see any of them, but he sure hoped they would notice him. His name, Bartimaeus, meant son of honor. Yet he sat in shame and dishonor by the roadside, depending upon the generosity of selfish or self-righteous people to help him survive life. Even though Bart was blind in his eyes, he could still hear with his ears. Most likely, noticing a crowd larger than usual that day on the road, at least judging by the noise in his estimation, he decided to take a closer listen. Lo and behold, who was the cause of all of this ruckus other than that one named Jesus, the carpenter's son, you know, from that little village, Nazareth. Of course, Bart had never met Jesus, but he had definitely heard about him. After 3 years of public miraculous ministry, he knew the stories of Jesus making the lame to walk, raising the dead to life, and even causing the blind to see. So what else was there to do? Bart knew he was blind, and everyone else did too. They didn't let him forget it. So Jesus might as well know like everybody else did. And Bartimaeus, from his seat of shame and dishonor on the roadside, began crying out with a loud voice, as loud as he could muster, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me!" The name Jesus means one who saves, and the title Son of David was a title of nobility as a descendant of the royal line of Old Testament Israel. This blind man went above and beyond the identification of the rich young ruler who called Jesus good teacher in Mark 10:17. In fact, blind Bart showed Jesus even greater admiration than two of Jesus' own disciples, James and John, who called Jesus teacher in Mark 10:35. Jesus, Son of David. When he called upon the name of Jesus, he recognized that he was vocalizing the name of the one who could save him from his blindness. Because Jesus had real power and authority as God's anointed from the Davidic bloodline. He made no bones about his request either, as he desired of Jesus, "Son of David, have mercy on me!" Mercy is when someone who has great power takes pity upon someone who has great weakness. As such, it is the act of not giving someone what they deserve. Everyone else passed blind Bart by on the road without giving him a second glance or a second thought. Would Jesus do the same? After all, in the eyes of society, that's what blind Bart really deserved. Maybe a penny or two every now and then, but not conversation. Surely not help. After all, Jesus probably had a good excuse, as he was perhaps one of the most well-known household names in all of the towns of Judea at that time. And Bart, well, he was just a blind beggar on the roadside. Why would Jesus stop to help him if he couldn't even make eye contact? But that didn't stop old Bart from shouting at the top of his lungs, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me!" And his crying out was as annoying as it could be to the rest of the crowd. It was even more annoying than a preacher yelling on a Sunday morning. It was like going to a David Phelps concert and having a tune-deaf deacon sitting right next to you, singing with a megaphone straight in your eardrum. The people around him were demeaning and belittling in their harsh demands for him to shut his pie hole and go back to where he belonged. Their despise, however, only fueled Bartimaeus' cries for help. And he got even louder and more frequent. Jesus! Son of David! Have mercy on me! Son of David! Have mercy on me! Those in the crowd who were annoyed with blind Bart's racket were not the only ones who heard him that day. I wonder how many times Bart yelled out for Jesus before Jesus stopped in his tracks and said, "Call him here." That might have been kind of an embarrassing moment for Bartimaeus. I mean, think about it. Could you imagine playing Marco Polo in a crowd of people that size as a blind man? He was apparently some distance from Jesus because that crowd had to pass word to him to come to Jesus. And maybe Bart hadn't heard Jesus because he was so busy crying out for Jesus to have mercy on him. Perhaps out of amazement, maybe some jealousy, and maybe even a desire for some free entertainment, the people in the crowd said to Bartimaeus, "Take courage. Get up. He's calling for you." Blind Bart was not embarrassed at all. After all, what was there to be ashamed of anymore? He was so excited to encounter Jesus at the prospect of regaining his sight that he shed his outer coat and jumped up running in Jesus' direction. And I imagine that the crowd began to split like the Red Sea when they saw a blind man running blindly. And he came to Jesus. Could you imagine that moment? Standing face to face with the one who saves, the Son of David, the Son of God. And Jesus asked Bartimaeus a question. "What do you want me to do for you?" Now, here was something spectacular. Usually, Bartimaeus was the one asking the questions. "Could you spare some change for a blind man's bread this day? Sir, would you consider a small contribution to help this one who cannot see afford a new coat before the winter sets in? It is so hot outside. Ma'am, would you be able to assist this sightless beggar today by sharing a cup of cold water on your way back from the well?" Now Jesus, the one with power, unlimited in nature, and unfathomable in extent, leans in and says, "What do you want me to do for you?" And this dishonored man, blind for who knows how long, the one that everyone saw and yet avoided and ignored because he could not see them, said, "My teacher, to regain my sight." His plea for Jesus to have mercy on him was different from any other plea that he had ever made to anyone who aided him. Though he was a beggar, he did not ask Jesus for money. You see, he was a beggar because he was blind. Though he was silenced by the crowd, he didn't ask Jesus for friendly conversation. You see, he was looked at with disdain because he could not see. Rather, he requested that Jesus restore his vision because he knew that Jesus could change his life. Jesus answered his request with a simple command: "Go. Your faith has made you well." And as soon as the final syllable left Jesus' tongue, Bartimaeus regained his sight. Because Bartimaeus had cried out to Jesus in faith, Jesus rewarded his faith with a miracle. As soon as Bartimaeus' eyes were opened, he began following Jesus on the road. He joined the crowd and the disciples, trailing behind this one who saves, because he had been saved from the darkness, despair, and depression of his physical blindness, his great weakness in life. Weakness is a sign of our own insufficiency. The rich young ruler asked Jesus what he must do to inherit eternal life, thereby implying that there was something he could purchase or do in his own power to get life from God. James and John, the sons of thunder, asked Jesus to give them places of position and authority in the kingdom of heaven, because they had the power in themselves to drink the same cup of suffering that Jesus would have to endure. But neither the rich young ruler nor James and John received that for which they had asked. But this blind beggar who sat on the road outside of Jericho, who made a request out of his weakness, not for anything spiritual like eternal life or power in the kingdom, this one was the one who was honored. He didn't try to cover up his weakness. He knew it, and everyone else did too. He cried out to Jesus in his weak estate, "Have mercy on me!" And Jesus had mercy on him. Would you stand with your heads bowed and your eyes closed? I wonder if you're here today and you know your weakness. You know it so well, as a matter of fact, that you do your best to cover it up. Perhaps you're even trying to cover it up here today. Maybe it's time to drop the facade. Maybe you're here today and you know your weakness and you don't try to cover it up because it's no use anymore. Everybody else knows it too. They look at you with disdain and disgust. But Jesus sees you as his creation, and he loves you. Maybe it's time to stop caring so much about what everybody else says and thinks about you, and be concerned with Jesus, what he says and what he thinks. He's the one who's created you and loved you, one who gives you new life and eternal life and purpose in this life. Maybe right where you're standing today, you just need to belt it out. Jesus, have mercy on me. I'll be standing down here in the front. If you need to speak with me about anything God has placed on your heart, you feel free to do so. Maybe where you're standing, you just need to cry out to Jesus to have mercy upon you. Maybe you need to come and kneel at this altar. As God calls you today, would you come to him?